From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead at 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line, and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
But there's 100 yards left. And Gunrunner with Gusto in the Stephen Foster Wins for Fun.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Kasakwe strikes the lead at the eighth pole. It's Kasakwe in front and opening up now. Chocolate Ride battles on Bondurant and Conquest Panthera down to the wire from off the pace. It's Kasakwe.
Paid up subscriber trying to stick with her late, but she is back. This fantastic filly wins the fifth, Sunbird.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to another five-star edition of the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, with you once again in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios right here in the heart of the Bluegrass on another hot, steamy day throughout the Midwest area, and happy to have you with us on Sirius 219 XM, Channel 206, and of course on our affiliates in Lexington, Louisville, and across the country, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. The summer racing season in full swing with the opening of Saratoga yesterday, Del Mar earlier this week, and we start to look toward the Breeders' Cup World Championships at Del Mar on November 3rd and 4th, just 103 days away from that event. We are only 10 hours away from the start of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series and our coverage of the Diana and the Sanford later this afternoon. That kicks off at 5:30 Eastern time, and only 13 hours away from the return of the world's number one ranked racehorse. That's Arrowgate, who goes to the post this afternoon in the Grade 2 San Diego. That's out at Del Mar, and he'll do that right around 6:03 Pacific, 9:03 Eastern. So, monster day of thoroughbred racing, and we have you covered right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Good morning, JT.
Good morning. How's it going?
Things are good.
Yeah.
How can it not be good?
I know. I won opening day of Del Mar. I won opening day of Saratoga, so the summer has started off nicely.
Stop. Just quit. Just don't bet anymore. That's it. You can walk away ahead.
Oh, yeah.
A winning meet.
There's plenty more opportunities on the horizon.
Ooh, plenty more opportunities to give it all back, too. Trust me, I know of what I speak.
Yeah, you give it all back. I never give it all back. You bet like you're in a grocery store. I'll take three of those and two of those. And you'll hit the try and then lose money.
Right, correct. Yeah. I've done that multiple times.
You bet like a crazy person.
What's your favorite type of wager when you're playing tracks like Del Mar and Saratoga?
Well, my standard bet is one unit to win and two units to place. I really kind of like to narrow in on one horse. But lately, I've found that the exacta payoffs of the horses that I bet are usually pretty good. So I've been dabbling a little bit with exactas, and it's been very profitable. But I'm pretty much a win in place better. I like to win even if I lose. So when I bet a horse and it gets beat and it comes in second, I usually make some decent money on it. I bet higher price horses.
Yeah, so meaning if you're going to play $10 to win, you play $20 to place. That's what you mean by the one unit, two
right.
unit
the,
thing.
And
right.
you can do it for you know, at some tracks you can bet $1 to win, so you could do it as low as $1 and $2, you know, up to whatever you want. I mean, my standard is usually 10 and 20. If I love a horse, it'll be 20 and 40, depending on the price. You know, the higher the price, the more I like to bet. But
how about the pick threes, pick fours? Obviously, your moniker here on the radio, the Pontiff of the pick four. Have you been playing any of those?
Once in a while. Last year at Saratoga, I got on a little bit of a pick three roll, which was great. Paid for the summer. And then pick fours, you know, since they've dropped it to 50 cents, it's easier to hit for, you know, a lot of people. So the payoffs haven't been as good. So I've kind of drifted away from them. I play them once in a while. I'm interested in this Naira Betts late pick five that's only available on track or through the Naira Betts app because, you know, it's a smaller pool.
Yep.
And gives you a little bit better chance to maybe make a score, and they have that bonus where if you're the only ticket, if you have a couple of long shots and you get lucky and you're the only person, it's a $100,000 payout regardless of the pool.
Woo.
So that's a pretty nice little bonus if it, if you're able to hit it. And the way I play, it's kind of interesting.
And so it's I've a 50-cent bet.
50-cent bet. Like, but you have to either bet it at the track, at a New York track, at a New York OTB, or play online on Naira Bets in order to bet it. You can't just bet it like on any other platform. So it's kind of restricted to their customers, which is a unique idea. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that.
We're going to talk more about the Grade 1 Diana, which is our feature race of the day at Saratoga. Of course, we mentioned Saturdays at Saratoga, presented by visitbarbados.org. That seven weekend series begins this afternoon at 5:30 Eastern here on the network. You'll be able to tune in on Sirius XM channel 93 and worldwide on our website at horseracingradio.net. Anthony Stabile, Mike Beer will have the coverage from Saratoga. We'll check in with the Big A coming up in just about 10 minutes from right now and get an update on what's happening not only this weekend, but what you can look forward to throughout the entire meet. Lady Eli, monster favorite in there. I think she's 4-5 on the morning line. It's not the biggest field that she has ever faced by any stretch of the imagination, but there are some others in there that can really run. We'll talk about the Diana in depth later in the first hour when we bring you our Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week. That is the Diana. We'll talk about it. We'll break it down from all different angles, and we'll let you know who we think is going to win that Diana later today and if Lady Eli can get it done as the favorite. On the West Coast, Jude, we mentioned at the top of the show, Arrowgate returning. You asked Mike Smith a couple of weeks ago on this show if he was excited and what it was like to be waiting on a horse like this to get back to the races. Well, he's going to find out later this afternoon when Arrowgate returns, and that should be one heck of a moment out there at Del Mar.
Yeah, he's not facing a lot as far as quality, and he's been training like a freak as per usual, so looks like it's his race to lose, but you know, who knows? They don't run them on paper. So
let's do this. Let's throw out our poll question this morning at HRN on Twitter. You can go there right now and vote. And we want to know, there has been some talk that Arrowgate is the greatest racehorse of all time. Now, that is a really bold statement. And whenever you get into comparing horses from different eras or teams from different eras, for that example, well, it can get a little sticky. And we want to know, do you think Arrowgate is the greatest racehorse of all time? Yes or no? If you vote no, go ahead and specify the horse you feel is the best. Maybe it's Secretariat, maybe it's Man of War, maybe it's somebody else. But we want to hear from you, HRN Nation. The poll question for today at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, is Arrowgate the greatest horse of all time? Is he?
I don't know how you make that judgment if you haven't been alive all time.
Well, I think you can look back through, right? Some of the past performances. Yeah. You can, you know, we know the other players in this discussion.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
I think he's
not the greatest racehorse you've ever seen, but the greatest racehorse of all time.
That's really all I can go by. He's the greatest horse I've ever seen.
Yeah.
In person.
He is. Okay.
Secretariat is, you know, right up there with him. But
you think Arrowgate's better?
I think maybe he's better. I don't really rate horses like a lot of people do. I just take them for how fantastic they are. Secretariat was a fantastic horse. But I think Arrowgate's in a completely unique dimension in that he is very versatile and he never seems to get tired. Secretariat was a lot like that. But, you know, and I'm not so sure that Arrowgate's not better on the turf. Secretariat was pretty good on the turf. But,
yeah, he won a Grade 1.
Yeah. But, you know, Arrowgate, he's very impressive in the way he trains, the way he looks. I'm a huge fan, have been since the Travers last year. And I was probably one of the first people to go out on a limb. But I've lived longer than a lot of people now. So, you know, when I say that the horse is the best horse I've ever seen in person, I think that's impressive because I've seen a lot of races.
Yeah. Well, that is our poll question for this morning. What do you think? Is Arrowgate the best racehorse of all time? Yes, no. If no, please let us know who you think is, and we'll try to pass along those responses and spur some discussion throughout the program here this morning. All right, busy show. When we come back, we're going to check in with the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who is live at the, well, about the 16th poll at Saratoga. We'll check in with him.
That's a bold statement.
It certainly is. We'll check in with him coming up in just a few minutes after this first break. Right around 8:37 Eastern time, Anthony is going to be joined in person there at Saratoga by owner Saul Kooman, who, of course, is the man who owns Lady Eli and so many other great racehorses. So we're going to get a chance to hear from Saul coming up in a little bit. Hoping to have a visit with Saratoga's all-time leading rider, John Velasquez. He's working horses this morning. He's going to try and carve out a few minutes for us at the beginning of the second hour, sometime around 9 o'clock Eastern. So stay tuned, hoping to have Johnny join us if he doesn't get tied up with all those horses that he's working. And I believe one of those horses he's working is Derby winner Always Dreaming. So we'll get a chance to ask him about that if he indeed gets the time to join us later this morning. And Jay Pribman from the Daily Racing Form is going to be with us right around 9:35 Eastern. We'll get a chance to catch up with Jay and talk to him about Arrowgate and talk to him about everything happening with racing there at Del Mar and on the West Coast. So a lot of things to get to. We kick it all off next right here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new greatest stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its five-day all-turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
Bloom Racing.
Majestic City could also still do it, and here he comes.
Majestic City running a big one.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Soul Driver the leader, though. Soul Driver in front.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
I'm visiting with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how are things in the insurance world?
Things are just fine in the insurance business, Mike. I'm grateful for the people who place their trust in Nicholson Insurance Agency to protect their homes, autos, farms, and horses against financial loss. As you know, we represent many insurance companies, so we can choose just the right company for each client at the right price. We welcome each opportunity to provide quality service to our clients.
So having many companies seems important.
Absolutely. Just like in thoroughbred racing and breeding, competition also works for the betterment of the insurance industry. I am constantly impressed with the ways companies respond to consumer demands with new insurance products and services.
Thanks, Joe. For your equine and general insurance needs, call Nicholson Insurance Agency at 859-224-7080. Or visit us on Facebook. You gotta know Joe.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
He's back.
It is Arrowgate and Mike Smith. Oh, they've opened up a five, a six-length lead here with one furlong to run. They've left the field railing behind. American Freedom and Gunrunner are fired behind Arrowgate. What a commanding performance. He won the Travers by 12.
The world's number one ranked racehorse returns
top of the stretch. California Chrome is a length in front, but he faces an uncommon opponent today. Arrogate tries hard to reel in California Chrome. California Chrome with Espinosa going for the whip is still in front. Arrogate trying his heart out. California Chrome from Arrogate, a pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins. Arrogate beat California Chrome.
America's King Creases of horse racing went to the front. 200 meters left to go. Arrogate has drawn away from Gunrunner. A is for Arrogate. A is for Absolute Superstar. A is for Anointing. Have we seen the anointing of the man of war of the 21st century, Arrogate?
And it's the Breeders' Cup winner. It's Arrogate in front, leading by three with an eighth of a mile to go. Shaman Ghost is trying to get into second. Then Neolithic. Back fourth is Noble Bird, followed by Keen Ice. But what a race! What a sport! What a horse! Arrogate romps in the Pegasus!
Arrogate is back.
Arrogate is indeed back. He's back this afternoon in the Grade 2 San Diego. Great job with that piece by our producer, Lee Della Pina. Boy, you think about some of those races and some of those efforts that Arrogate has put in. Our poll question today, is he the greatest racehorse of all time? It's hard to argue with those who would say yes after all of those Grade 1 victories, that brilliant performance in the Travers last year, and then the Pegasus World Cup, the Breeders' Cup, the Dubai World Cup. That horse is simply sensational. We'll see him in his return this afternoon where the turf meets the surf at Del Mar. 6:03 Pacific is the post time for the San Diego. That's 9:03 for those of you tuning in here on the West Coast. And boy, what a horse.
East Coast.
What did I say? West Coast, East Coast.
Yeah. 9:03 East Coast time.
East Coast time. Yeah.
It'll still be light here.
Get
in Lexington.
Chills.
Well,
right, that piece gives you chills when you listen to the.
He's certainly the darling of track announcers, right? Because those calls that we heard, those are among the best calls that all three of those guys have made. Terry Spargo, man, is he going to be missed? That guy, what a talent!
Yeah, here comes the Big A was his call, and he was not referring to our Big A, Anthony Stabile, who's in Saratoga. We're going to check in with him momentarily to get you ready for our Saturdays at Saratoga series, which begins later this afternoon at 5:30 Eastern. We'll also get a preview of what's coming up this meet from Anthony here in just a moment. But before we do, we want to tell you that late Ashford sire Scat Daddy is going to be represented in both features this weekend at Saratoga. He has Harmonize in the Diana, and Daddy's Little Darling in the Coaching Club American Oaks. Now, Scat Daddy's last crop of yearlings are unbelievably hot, and they're going to be in hot demand this summer, with 12 cataloged to the Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale on August 7th and 8th. Other Ashford sires represented in the sale include the red-hot young sire, Uncle Mo, who has 28 stakes winners from his first two crops. How about that? And Declaration of War, who was represented by his first graded stakes winner last weekend when two-year-old filly Actress took out the Grade 3 Anglesey Stakes in Ireland, making him the first freshman sire standing in the U.S. to sire a graded stakes winner. So congratulations to Ashford Stallion Declaration of War. You can visit coolmore.com to learn more about all the Ashford Stallions. Well, Big A, you are at, about the 16th pole or so. I know exactly where you are. You're in our broadcast position just before the finish line in the winner's circle, down the bottom of Section B of the grandstand at Saratoga. Good morning, my friend. Happy opening weekend.
Good morning, guys. That's my new ringtone, by the way. Here comes the Big A, Terry Spargo.
That's good.
Lee cut it out for me. Lee cut it out from the call for me, so my phone rings. You guys are here at EquestriCon weekend. When my phone rings, that's what you hear.
Yeah, it's cool. Boy, I'll tell you what, that call, that horse, he's sensational. We have another good one going to the post this afternoon at Saratoga by the name of Lady Eli, who's going to be a heavy favorite in the Grade 1 Diana, which is the way we kick off our Saturdays at Saratoga series. How about that race today, Big A?
Yeah, that's a loaded race. She is a combined length from being undefeated in 11 starts. Pretty remarkable when you consider all she's went through. And she comes back to a place, and we'll talk to Saul Kuhn, her her owner, which she punned in just a little bit, like you mentioned earlier. But it's got to be really cool for him today to come to the place where it all began. She broke her maiden here at First Asking at Saratoga back in 2014, and then to where it continued when she came back last year in that Boston Spa on Travers Day after the Travers was over. So, you know, it's just a remarkable story. You don't want to say full circle because I don't think that this is anywhere near over, especially with the Breeders' Cup being a mile and an eighth this year, the Breeders' Cup filly in Mare Terre. Boy, you think they're happy with that decision, that it's a mile and an eighth this year? She's 2 for 2, looking to go 3 for 3. So, but, you know, this is not a cakewalk today, Mike. She's got a couple of fillies in here, namely Antono and Dickinson, who are grade one winners in their own right, and it should make for a thrilling renewal. We've had so many fantastic runnings of the Diana just in the last 10 years here at Saratoga. And I don't think this one will disappoint.
No, and you also have the Grade 3 Sanford as part of that coverage this afternoon too. Talk about that race.
Yeah, Jude and I were on the call yesterday for the Schuylerville, the traditional opening day feature, and Dream It Is came down from Canada, first time on the conventional dirt to win her first graded stakes. And you get, that was a deep field yesterday. I think the favorite went off somewhere around 2 to 1, so public didn't really know where to land. I think the same thing's going to happen today. You got a field of 8 in here, all winners. It's a tough bunch. Psychoanalyze from the inside was very, very good in his debut. You know, when you look at two-year-olds, I tell people, especially early on in the season, and I would still consider this early, don't worry about what they're running against. Worry about how they're doing it. Psychoanalyze did everything right. He took on a Todd Pletcher-trained prohibitive favorite and duked it out with him every step of the way and was able to put him away. And then you got Steve Asmussen coming in with a couple with Baffin and Direct Dial. Direct Dial was real good last time out. They have Todd Pletcher represented by Admiral Jimmy and Bal Haber. It's just another wide-open race. Usually don't see them running all three anymore, so the Saratoga Special will be the one they take off, and I'm sure we'll see at least one or two of these back in the hopeful on closing weekend.
Well, it's one of those races where there's if you run them like 8 times, you have 8 different winners. It's
right.
Going to be a pace race. I know the horse you like on the rail, he's got to overcome the rail draw. That psychoanalyze. Admiral Jimmy's going to need some pace help up front. I'm sure Pletcher would like to see 3 or 4 of those go to the lead and burn themselves up. You got Baffin in there who's just been tearing up the track in the morning and look good winning. He's by Justin Phillip, who was a fantastic racehorse, and reports are all good on him as a stallion. And this is his standard bearer right now, Baffin. So it is. It's a fascinating race. As most of the stakes are at Saratoga. I mean, the Diana's a great handicapping puzzle, too, that we talked about in the stakes preview ad nauseum, as Mr. Pena likes to say.
He loves to get that shot in there every chance he can.
Ad nauseum's a phrase that I know you do like to use. I'll tell you, sometimes I use it
in the wrong fashion, but right, I have used it before.
Yes. Yeah, if you talk to Larry Colmus, he always wants to talk about nausea when he talks about Mike Pena. So,
the best might have been when I had first started doing these race broadcasts, and I was with my partner, the late Pete Coolis, and we were at Calder, and there was a horse by the name of Hippocrates who was running down there. And for the entire 2-hour broadcast, I called him Hippocrates. For the entire 2-hour show. All right, this is a confession to HRN Nation right now. This is therapy for me. I called him Hippocrates for the entire 2 hours. Pete waited until we finally finished the broadcast. Didn't correct me during a commercial break. He waited until we finished. We took off the headsets, and he looked at me and he said, "It's Hippocrates, you idiot." So there you go. That's one of my faux pas.
Yeah, you're a brave man confessing to HRR Nation. I've done it every now and then, and my Twitter has exploded. So
Hippocrates.
I keep the confessionals to Father Alto over at St. Helens Church. Now.
So here's the kicker to that story.
And I can't go there in Saratoga because he doesn't have 7 weeks. What's happening, Jude?
Here's the kicker to that story. So I'm driving to the studio one day, and there's a truck parked out in front of somebody's house. They're moving, and the name of the company is Hippocrates. It's got a it's one of those storage units with a hippo, picture of a hippo on the side. I got out of the car, I took a picture, and I sent it to Mike. I said, here, this is the company you should invest in.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. I'll tell you one thing, the other thing about this Sanford today, and I think these races are a little more fun. I know people hate when some people hate when people use the word fun when it comes to horse race, but we're supposed to be having fun here, right, guys? I mean, it's horse racing. It's a sport. It's
absolutely
supposed to be having a good time. I think these races are more fun when they're wide open like this. Should there be a horse in here under 5-2 or 2-1? Probably not. So it makes the puzzle a little more difficult, and I know that's not good. And I heard you guys in the open talking about the Jude. You were talking about that Naira Betts, the late pick five. There's actually a carryover into that late pick five today. So I can only imagine how much money on a day like today, the first Saturday of the meet. You know, we got plenty of people here for breakfast at Saratoga already, watching the horses train. We're at the break now. So that pool's going to be huge today. And both of the stakes featured on Saturdays at Saratoga today are in that sequence. So something I'm definitely, we all know I don't mind dabbling in a pick four or a pick five pool. So, you know, I'll be looking at that. I'll be looking at that later. And races like the Sanford, I think, while it makes it a little more difficult to nail down the sequence, if you're a fan of the sport, they're fun races to watch because they're not only difficult to handicap, but give you a little insight into the future with the two-year-olds.
He's the Big A, Anthony Stabile. He is positioned at Saratoga. That's where he will be, and he'll be joined by Daily Racing Form's Mike Beer as they anchor our coverage of Saturdays at Saratoga this afternoon. You can tune in 5:30 Eastern. SiriusXM Channel 93 will be your home for that coverage this afternoon, and you can tune in as well on our website worldwide on your mobile device or your computer. That's at horseracingradio.net. One other side note, Anthony, regarding that Sanford, no jockey in history has won more races than John Velasquez at Saratoga. He's also won more Sanford stakes than anybody else. He's done it 7 times. He is going to be with us at 9 o'clock Eastern. He'll be working Always Dreaming later today. That's going to be around 9:30 Eastern. He just sent me a text, said Always Dreaming will work at 9:30, so he'll have a little time to join us at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to talking with Johnny coming up in just a little bit. What's the weather like there today, Anthony, because that's always the X factor with Saratoga and making that meet successful. If you get good weather, it's a gangbusters meet. If not, well, then you're looking at scratches and off the turf races and all those types of things.
Well, I'll tell you what, Todd Pletcher picked a great day to bring Derby Champ onto the track. He has Always Dreams and work. Not only Mike Always Dreaming, Cloud Computing, the Preakness winner for Chad Brown, going to work as well this morning. So we'll try and get you. I'll try and get you a little update after they both work. Now that we know that Always Dreaming is going to come out a little late, they're both supposed to come out after the break. So 9:30 for Always Dreaming. I'll try and get a time for Cloud Computing. Yeah, today is. He couldn't have picked a better day. It's a little overcast, but we all know that the horses like the cold weather, so that's good for them. Right in the mid to upper 60s, maybe touching 70 right about now, but not too humid. It's cloudy. I don't know if you could tell the happiness in my voice that it's cloudy because when I came here, the sun was beating right into my face. And now it's become a little overcast. But we're not supposed to get any rain. It's there's no humidity in the air. So it just looks like it's going to be a cloudy, overcast kind of day. And, it's not going to be the most brilliant day at Saratoga, but I don't think it's going to keep these people out. When I was walking in this morning, for you Game of Thrones fans out there, it looked like the Army of the Dead marching on the wall. There were so many people getting ready to go do the run for the picnic tables. I was honestly afraid.
Yeah, it's quite the scene if you've never seen it.
Did he say 60s? I'm not ready for that kind of weather yet. No. Today in Lexington, they're talking about it being in the 90s and with a heat index of over 100. That's my weather, man. That's my kind of weather.
No. Well, you keep that weather with you. Don't
you just
bring
stay
that
here
weather. I'm here a lot.
Pass on Saratoga.
I'm at Saratoga a lot. I'm at the 16th pole, and I don't think anybody would ever bet on me, but the 16th pole is probably a place I would camp out if I was in a horse race. I don't think I could get to the line. That 16th of a mile probably finished me off, but you keep that hot weather with you. My AccuWeather right now has 66 and mostly cloudy, so supposed to get into the lower 80s today. But just no sun right now. It's a perfect morning. It's a perfect morning. There had to be 1,000 people looking to get in here this morning.
Yeah, all kidding aside, it really is in a beautiful place to be this time of year, and that's Saratoga. And, of course, should be a fast main track and a firm turf course for the running of the Sanford and the Diana. Once again, coverage kicking off 5:30 Eastern this afternoon on the network. Big A, we'll get back with you in just a few minutes. It's time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf. When we come back, you will be joined by Saul Kooman, who is the owner of Lady Eli and so many other great horses that we're going to see throughout the course of the meet. So we'll talk to Saul with the Big A coming up in just a few minutes. But it is time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every single Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington, right here in Lexington, Kentucky, on the corner of New Circle and Liberty. You go in, you see the Godfather, Tony Ottaviano. You see all the great folks at the Lexus Store, and you tell them, hey, the Baron sent me in and told me to say hello.
On Saturday, July 16, 1965, nearly 60,000 racing fans gathered at Hollywood Park for the running of the Gold Cup over 10 furlongs on a superbly conditioned racing strip under a brilliant sun and a robin's egg blue sky. Most had come out to see if Native Diver, the six-year-old homebred, who had already become a local folk hero, could win yet another big one. In his two previous starts, a Native Diver had beaten Viking Spirit by a neck at level weights and world record equaling time of 120 flat for 7 furlongs in the Los Angeles Handicap, and had trounced a strong field in the 9 furlong American Handicap after being rested for 6 weeks. Swaps, the legendary Ellsworth hero, had been considered the best homegrown up until now, but Native Diver was pressing that reputation in no uncertain terms. He had had 21 stakes wins, all in California, and had earned over $400,000. In the field of challengers in this Gold Cup were the likes of Tronado, Meadowbrook Farm's solid performer, Ramon from the Foxcatcher Farm, and Ralph Lowe's Gogger. Native Diver was the high weight, packing an impost of 124, including regular rider Jerry Lambert. As the gate sprung open at the head of the stretch, Lambert gunned a Native Driver to the front with a terrific burst of speed, and by the time they came by the stands for the first time, Native Diver was 6 in front on the way to clocking a 22-1 first quarter. He continued setting all the fractions on an easy lead through the clubhouse turn and posted a fairly swift 44-2 for the first half. As the field straightened out for the long run down the backside, Lambert gave him a little bit of a breather, and two horses, Romant and Tronado, closed some ground until they were within 2.5 lengths of the leader. Native Diver had that margin at the three quarters, which had been turning a very quick 108-4. He increased his lead as they went on down around the turn and was still 4 in front as they swung to the top of the stretch. The mile had gone in 134-1. Gogger had been rolling from far back and was within striking distance with 2 furlongs to the wire. Native Diver had enough left to run the final quarter in 25 flat and increased his margin slightly to wind up a clear and decisive 5-length winner. The final time for the mile and a quarter was 2:01, which equaled the legendary Kayak the Second's mark. Owner L.K. Shapiro was absolutely thrilled with the win, because it was the first time one of his horses had won a $100,000 race, the first time he'd won at 10 furlongs, and the first time he'd won an American Classic race at that distance with top weight. To add to the luster of this outstanding thoroughbred, he came back to win the Gold Cup again the very next year while packing 126 pounds in even faster time, 2 minutes flat. The piece de resistance and the crowning glory was a third straight win in the Gold Cup, at the age of 8, in a phenomenal time of 158-4. With the latter score, Native Diver reached the hallowed plateau of being a million-dollar earner on the racetrack. You see, my friends, like fine wines, this extraordinarily fine Californian, Native Diver, had become better with age.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family. at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
You know, it was right about 2 years ago at this time that a new restaurant opened on Main Street. And it's quickly become a favorite for anybody that wants the best steaks and the best seafood. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood. They were just named one of the best steakhouses in the nation by TastingTable.com, a very big national website. Why don't you give them a visit? It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood on Main Street. TonysSteaksAndSeafood.com.
Wonder what it feels like to be an owner inside the paddock before your horse races, but you don't know how to get started? Contact West Point Thoroughbreds to get inside the game. You can play in a big way, right away, by owning pieces of multiple horses, which increases your chances of action. West Point has been professionally managing racing partnerships for 25 years. West Point Thoroughbreds is the gold standard in racing partnerships. Visit westpointtb.com. That's westpointtb.com. This advertisement is for informational purposes only and is not an offer to sell securities.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was creator and destined right on the wire, and Iran Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainesway stallion Taprit, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Taprit has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Taprit's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, fillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time in Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Taprit. Look for Taprit yearlings at the upcoming Fasig Tipton Saratoga sale. Taprit, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario.
Hi, this is Jockey John Court.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
At the top of the stretch, Lady Eli and Avenger stride for stride, chased by Goodyear for Roses, clear of Mocat. Lady Eli takes the lead from Avenge, coming past the eighth pole. Goodyear for Roses is running one heck of a race, but Lady Eli is the leader with a 16th to go. She's three quarters in front, fighting on tenaciously. Lady Eli, courage exemplified in a racehorse. Lady Eli beat Goodyear for Roses in the Gamely Stakes. They were clear of Avenge, Mocat, and Pretty Girl, who were across the course for third.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Kentucky Downs here in the month of July. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. And Lady Eli with a huge win in the Gamely last time out, and looked very, very good doing it. We'll see her in action this afternoon in the Grade 1 Diana, which is our feature race of the afternoon as we kick off our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series. We'll bring you exclusive radio coverage of the biggest stakes races of the summer for the next seven Saturdays, all live from Saratoga. And JT, we kick it off with a good one. As a matter of fact, two good ones with the Grade 3 Sanford and that Grade 1 Diana this afternoon.
Yeah, it's a nice card at Saratoga. There's a lot of good supporting races as well, and looking forward to it. But the Diana is the absolute feature race of the day with three super talented fillies, and then a supporting cast that also has a chance to upset the apple cart. So it's a short field, but a very quality field.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that race coming up in our Fasig Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week, which is all presented by our friends at Fasig Tipton and that Turf Showcase sale coming up here in September in Lexington. Well, Anthony Stabile is standing by with Saul Kuman, who is the owner of Lady Eli. They are live at Saratoga. Let's rejoin the Big A. Take it away, Anthony.
Thanks, Mike. Sitting here with Saul Kuman, Sheep Pond Partners. Saul, thanks for joining us for a few minutes on a busy morning.
Oh, listen, my pleasure. Beautiful day in Saratoga. I'm happy to come over and say hello.
Yeah, they're all beautiful days up here, right?
Yeah, anything's better than work, but it's pretty nice to be here.
You may hear some tractors in the background. They're doing the harrow right now for the renovation break. So big crowd out here today. I'm sure a lot of them, Saul, here to see your star mare. Now it's crazy to call her a mare. We've been she's been around so long now, and it's got to be a fun day for you because with her, this is where it all began and where it all continued.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, it's a big day. I mean, this is the horse that really got us going. This was, you know, in the first group of horses we bought, and you know, since then we've bought a lot more and gotten pretty involved in the sport and, you know, been through a crazy journey with her, and this is the only one to really get nervous for. You know, most of the time it's, you know, you kind of come to the races and you're excited and you're hoping you're putting yourself in good spots. With her, you know, you get better butterflies and have trouble sleeping the night before and trying to think of what can go wrong and, you know, nervous and excited. So,
you mentioned 3 years between Lady Eli, Wavell Avenue, you bought into Manya Biscuits. It feels like you've been around for a million years that we've been seeing Sheep Pond partners on the PPs for forever. But like you said, I mean, pretty fortunate. She's one of the first few horses, right? You didn't win your first race until March of 2014, and then you buy her that summer, and she's a maiden winner at Saratoga that summer as well.
Yep, yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, we started Sheep Pond Partners with a couple buddies of mine, and you know, we bought a few 2-year-olds and a few yearlings. This was in our first group, and obviously, I think that year was funny. We bought 3 2-year-olds. Sorry, we bought 4 2-year-olds, and 3 of them went to the Breeders' Cup.
Wow.
Tammy the Torpedo and an Offering Plan who will run later here at the meet. And it was, you know, we thought it was, I'm like, oh, this sport's pretty easy. Then you do it for a little bit longer, you're like, holy smokes, we were extremely lucky. You know, and since that sort of first crop, you know, we started a few different groups, Head of Plains, Matticat, Great Point, a couple other partnerships with just a few buddies in each. And it's been a great ride. You know, we've been trying to do things a little bit differently in terms of the types of horses we're trying to buy and at different points in their career. And it's been a great run and learning a ton and having a blast.
She's the cornerstone, though, right? I mean, she's the one that really brought you into prominence. Your first Breeders' Cup winner, obviously. I mean, just 3 starts into her career, 6 months you're in the game, you're a Breeders' Cup winning owner. I mean, there are guys and gals in this business for literally decades that would kill to be in this position. And to have a filly like this who has really captured the imaginations and the hearts of a lot of fans. I remember when she broke her maiden, my phone exploded about how, you know, how good she was and how impressive she was and, you know, then go on to win the Breeders' Cup. You get her back last year, and she suffers her first loss here. So the line from Rounders, it's like, yeah, Buckner walking back into Shea. You feel the same way on a day like today? Because this is a tough race today, is Diana.
It is a tough race. I mean, I can come up with a scenario, and I have, of each horse winning and none of them being us. That loss was tough. You know, it was one of those days where, you know, when she lost, you were heartbroken, and then you kind of went back to your house, and 4 or 5 hours later, you sort of reflected and said, you know what? She's back though, right? And she's healthy, and we're gonna have a shot to, you know, to really campaign her, and she's responded. You know, here, yeah, it's a spot of her first win. You know, you obviously remember that loss, but there's just something special about winning a big race at Saratoga, right? I mean, this is the first, you know, first grade one of the meet. We were actually fortunate enough to win this race last year with the Cita, which was actually kind of a little bit of a surprise for us. So this year, obviously, we have the favorite, so it'll be a little bit different, and she's a little bit different, of course. So, you know, nervous and excited, but really nothing better than winning a big one on a Saturday.
Yeah, I hope your heart can take it. The Diana has produced some pretty thrilling stretch duels. I don't have to tell you with the Cita last year, but the last 10 years, I mean, we've had some real slobber knockers out here.
Yeah. No, and I expect one today. I mean, look, the thing that when I started it, I never really understood how the weights worked in these races. And as I've gotten a little bit savvier in my
that was the first thing you said to me this morning.
Yeah, I said, you know, I'm obviously Chad's got another really good horse in the race that I'm, you know, concerned about, nervous about. But there's a Grand Motion horse, Ghidorah, who's run, you know, phenomenally the last couple times. And I'm looking at the weights. The horse is getting 8 pounds, training really well, you know, short field, so probably be able to save some ground. I mean, that horse is the one that actually scares me, I don't say the most, but a lot. So obviously Dickinson is a tremendous horse. And there's some really, really good horses in there. It is going to be a battle, and I'm not expecting to, if we're lucky enough to win, it's going to be a nose or a neck if we get down to that spot.
Yeah, Dickinson actually handed her third defeat, and the only time in her career she's lost two in a row. But again, that Jenny Wiley, you think you're coming back in the Jenny Wiley, and you know it's going to be, it usually is a nice race, a tough race, Teppan, of course, last year, but... Yeah. That was a completely loaded Jenny Wiley this
loaded.
Year.
It was loaded again. And that is funny. We have another horse called Alicia's World, who Dickinson had run second to Dickinson the two races before, a grade three and a grade two. And we're like, God, this horse, you know, this Dickinson looks pretty good, but we didn't think Alicia's World was that good. And then after you watch the race, you're like, oh, maybe Alicia's World's okay. Yeah, but the horse is tough, too. I mean, this is going to be a battle today, absolute battle.
2 for 2 at 9 furlongs.
Yep.
Antono, the other Chad you were talking about,
yep,
has never been 9 furlongs. As I pull up my PPs, I don't believe Dickinson has been the 9 furlongs. She has, actually. She won that Hillsborough. But does it give you, and the Suwannee River, does it give you a little confidence, 2 for 2, that Gamely last time in California, an unbelievable race going the 9 furlong trip? Talk a little bit about that, because she was a little out of her element last time.
Yeah, she was much more forwardly placed than we thought. I thought she was going to be. And so I was actually a little bit nervous, you know, kind of watching the race. They were going pretty quick up front, and she was, you know, I thought she'd be kind of mid-pack. I mean, I guess that shows you a little bit about her versatility. That was, you know, Irad felt like that, you know, he had to stick with that horse in the lead, or else that horse would have gotten loose because there was no speed. You could see that again today. There's not a lot of speed in this race, so I'm not exactly sure how it's going to play out. My guess is she'll be kind of mid-pack, forwardly placed, hopefully on the rail, saving some ground and ready to kind of see that kick at the end. I'm not really sure who goes to the front. But, yeah, Antoinette is a you know, special horse. Obviously, you know, with your trainer throwing the horse in there, you wish you could take him out to dinner and try to convince him to go to a different race. But unfortunately, Judd Mott's going to have a little more juice than me. So she's here, and she's going to be super tough. She obviously earned it with a tremendous win in that grade one last time out. So she's going to be extremely tough and has a devastating turn of foot. So we'll see what happens.
It's funny you say that, because as you're relatively new to the game, this has come up a lot. The last few years, I feel, as we've gotten more fans and more younger people like yourself into the game, you obviously are a big owner in the Chad Brown Barn. Judd Mott, huge owner universally. You get that he has to run Antono against Lady Eli, the same way Judd Mott gets that he has to run Lady Eli against Antono. Is there a modicum of regret that you're in a situation like that?
No, I hate it. I mean, I hate it. I hate it. I've been beating Chad up over it for months.
I love an honest answer. Oh, this is not a politically correct answer. I love it.
I mean, Anthony, I'll tell you, last year I ran second. Well, actually, maybe it's over the last 14 months. I ran second to Chad in stakes races, graded stakes races, sorry, to another Chad horse. So listen,
how many times?
6 times. And that's first, second. So listen, I run third, he wins with another horse. Yeah, you're high-fiving him. Congratulations, buddy. I'm really happy for you. Right, the difference, second, third, you're not going to cry. But I'm talking second, first. And a lot of them are fillies, residual value. I mean, it has been a dagger. But it's, what are you going to do? I mean, I talk to him about it all the time, and his answer, which I think is a really fair one, is, look, if you're with me, would you rather be with me or against me? Really, I'm going to run too. So you want to go give your horse to this trainer or that trainer, that's fine, but you're still going to have to run against me. So if you think my program's the best, you're going to get, you know, the best care. He never puts you in a position where you feel like he's sabotaging your chances to improve.
Everybody wins.
Chances. Yeah, everyone. So he says, look, I'm giving the jockeys directions that I think are going to give your horse, each one separately, the best chance to win the race. And I believe he does that. So it's super tough, especially I've got a close personal friendship with him. And if Lady Eli runs second today and Antoinette wins, I will cry. and I will be extremely difficult, and it will be very hard to see him on Sunday morning or Saturday night. But, you know, you got to be a big boy about it, right? For me, actually, sometimes it's harder – you know, when he's running a couple in an allowance race or, you know, or claiming race or something like that, because the big races, like these guys, this is what they do. They've got to, you know, if he's got two, three real shots for the Diana, you got to take them. If you got three shots for the Kentucky Derby, they have to take them. I mean, that's how these guys make their money. That's the pinnacle of the game for them. They don't know who's going to fire on what day. So that stuff, you know, you have to kind of be a big boy about.
You got about a minute left.
Sure.
What do we got left? What do we got looking ahead of the meet?
We got
Mind Your Biscuits in the four-go.
Yeah, we got Mind Your Biscuits in the four-go. We've got Whitmore and the Vanderbilt next weekend. We've got Ascend that won the Manhattan this year, kind of out of nowhere. Is going to run in the Bowling Green and then hopefully back in the Sword Dancer next weekend. Should be exciting. What else?
We should rename Saturdays at Gulfstream Saturdays It's All.
Yeah, listen. It's all about the Saturdays.
Saturdays at Saratoga.
Saturdays at Saratoga, yeah. Lightstream is going to run. We're still trying to figure out what race. We've got some good stuff. I mean, you feel like you're working all year. You're going to the sales. You're buying stuff privately to set yourself up to have, you know, some real live shots on some big days, especially in the summer. And hopefully you get lucky a handful of times. We've got some good stuff in the Haskell. You know, I'm part of a horse called Timeline with the Woodford Group that I think is live. American Anthem is a shot. We go to that race. If not, then, you know, we'll come back to the Alan Jerkins here. So we've got some fun stuff. We'll see if we can get lucky a couple times and win a few big races. And hopefully when my kids are here, we can take a few pictures. That's always the key.
Sheep Pound Partners and Saul Kuhlman are all over the place. Saul, thanks for some time today. Before I let you go, Mike, just wanted to let you know, go Steelers.
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
Man, I'm just a messenger, man.
Come on. Tell him if he wants to come to a Patriots game and see a real team play, we'll take him anytime.
Wow, you got us all. Thanks for some time today.
Thanks,
Mike,
there
you go. There's your offer. You want to go up to Foxborough? It's on Saul. Back to you.
All right, Saul Kuhlman with his final appearance here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. He'll never be back on with us again. No, great guy and somebody who has been really good for the sport of thoroughbred racing. He's passionate about it. Fun interview, too. Well done, Big A. A lot of fun stuff in there, JT.
Yeah, Saul's a great guy, and you can just tell in his voice how much he loves the sport. And he's very knowledgeable, too. I mean, he knows
super smart
all of his horses and where they're going to run, and he almost sounded like Kieran McLaughlin there for a minute.
Yeah, you know, and I loved his candor, right? He didn't beat around the bush. I mean, some of those questions, you know, talking about, yeah, okay, you're in the same barn. You have horses with Chad Brown. He has other clients that he's running horses in the same race as you, you know, and Saul didn't beat around the bush. He said, no, you know what? That's his program. I want to be part of that program. I understand what comes along with it.
Yeah. Well, you know, Judmon, I think, feels the same way. They never used to like to let Bobby Frankel run two of their horses against one another. So I'm sure they're not pleased that they have to run against Lady Eli either. I mean, but it's part of the sport. It is what it is. And it's fantastic to have two fillies of that quality squaring off in a big race in a grade one. That's what you're looking for. So, you know, everybody's in the same boat as far as that's concerned. I can tell you from personal experience, the worst day of my life was running two fillies in a grade one. I had the most splitting headache leaving the track. And, you know, one set of owners was really angry that I was running another horse against them. They had the best horse. I don't know why they would be upset, but in any case, it was a brutal day. They had separate lunch tables. I had to be going back and forth, and there was not enough bourbon in the house that day.
Yeah, well, that's saying something. Saul Kuhlman, like all of our guests who appear on the program, is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're back with our Phasic Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week, and then Johnny V coming up 9 o'clock Eastern. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Arguably North America's hottest first crop weanling sire in 2016, Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince is set to once again ignite the marketplace with his first crop yearlings this sale season. A brilliantly talented son of leading sire Pioneer of the Nile, Cairo Prince is passing on the extraordinary good looks that made him the most expensive member of his own sire's initial sales crop. And he possesses the brilliance to give his progeny every chance for major success on the racetrack. Airdrie Studs Cairo Prince, a stallion star in the making. Think about it.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
New for 2017 at Spendthrift Farm, Brody's Cause, a grade one winner at 2 and 3.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final running time of 143.27 in the Breeders' Futurity was the fastest running on dirt since 2000 while defeating grade one winner Exaggerator by Sire of Sires Giants Causeway and bred just like worldwide leading sire Shamradal. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The inaugural Fasig-Tipton Turf Showcase takes place Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. An exciting addition to the Fasig-Tipton sales calendar, the Turf Showcase is the only yearling sale in North America exclusively for horses with turf appeal. Did you know that nearly 7,000 races were run on turf in North America in 2016? And more than 40% of graded stakes this year will be turf races. The demand is growing, so don't miss your chance to buy a yearling with true turf appeal. Sunday, September 10th in Lexington, Kentucky. Visit FasigTipton.com.
They're off in the Breeders' Cup.
Gio Ponti adds the million to his grade one collection.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
$3 million. Breeders' Cup.
Little Mike now to seize the lead as they make their way toward the top of the stretch.
Point of entry has defeated Animal Kingdom.
Nothing like turning the Keeneland Lawn into your personal playground. It is all Teppan to win the Coolmore, Jenny Wiley.
And today's Fasig-Tipton Turf Showcase Race of the Week is indeed the Grade 1 Diana. Coverage of that race coming up at 5:30 Eastern Time this afternoon. Part of our Saturdays at Saratoga series presented by VisitBarbados.org. JT, six horses set to go in that Diana. Post time, 6:18 Eastern. Lady Eli, 4-5 on the morning line. We've talked about that throughout the program today. Does she get it done at a short price, or is there maybe an upsetter in here?
Well, there's lots of upsetters in here, but Lady Eli is a formidable foe. She's also favorably weighted here. I think Antino takes the worst of it weight-wise. She's been running with a lot lighter weights, 118, 113. Today carries 121. She's getting 2 pounds from Lady Eli, but considering she's never gone a mile and an eighth before, I think that's a kind of a severe penalty for her. You've got Dickinson too, who's at the top of her game. She's just a very talented filly, and you know she could certainly win the race. But the even the longer shots like Harmonize, Kedora, and my impression, you know, they, any one of those fillies could win on any given day. It's a very difficult race, and I don't think it's a race to bet a ton of money on, but it's going to be a very enjoyable race to watch.
Yeah, Dickinson beat Lady Eli two starts back in the Jenny Wiley here at Keeneland, came back and finished third, beaten three quarters of a length behind Antino in the Just a Game last time. Is there a chance that Dickinson can be the one to knock off Lady Eli?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she's drawn outside. Paco Lopez knows her well. He's done a great job riding her. She has a very good style. He can put her wherever he wants to put her. She can lay close up, or if some crazy pace duel develops, which you don't really see in a short field like this. But you can say about the same for Lady Eli. I mean, she's been coming from off the pace in most of her races. Last time out, she finished first after laying second. So kind of a departure for her. She's so talented. I mean, that's the thing about these fillies. They're all so good that any one of them could pop up. It's a really interesting race.
All right, that is your Phasic Tipton Turf Showcase race of the week. Again, the Grade 1 Diana with a post of 6:18 Eastern. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. We'll come back with hour number two of the Equine Forum right after this. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Here's Cloud Computing going for the upset. Classic Empire Dixon. Cloud Computing goes alongside. They come to the finish together. Noses apart. Cloud Computing has defeated Classic Empire and the Preakness.
Heart to heart at the 16th pole, a length from Bala Bali, free rose. Farhan late on the scene. Bala Bali gathers in heart to heart. Farhan charging, but Bala Bali wins the Shoemaker.
Originating from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs.
IRAP with the lead. Practical Joke giving all he's got. IRAP 31-1 wins the Toyota Bluegrass with Julian Leperoux aboard.
Taprit has taken the lead. Taprit and Irish Warcry come down to the line together. It is Taprit and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pope Jude, Pontiff of the Pick Four. We are with you in our Jimmy Johns of Lexington broadcast studios. A fun first half of the program. The Big A, Anthony Stabile, positioned at Saratoga. Great interview with Saul Kuhman. If you missed it, head back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Later this morning, a podcast of this show will be available for you, horseracingradio.net and Horse Racing Radio Network on iTunes. You won't want to miss that interview. Saul with some great comments, very candid, talking about what it's like owning horses and owning horses against other prominent owners who have horses with the same trainer. Really cool stuff and a great take from Saul on some of those questions. Our poll question of the day is Arrowgate, because he returns today in the San Diego out at Del Mar. Is Arrowgate the greatest horse of all time? And we want to hear from you, HRN Nation. You can weigh in on our Twitter feed, at HRN on Twitter, and Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. And it's pretty simple. Yes or no, do you think Arrowgate is the best racehorse of all time? Jude, so far, the no's are dominating this poll question. Only 29% of the folks in HRN Nation saying, yeah, he's the best horse of all time. 71% saying, nope, he is not.
Haters gonna hate.
Well, look, I mean, here are some of the comments. One person weighing in saying that it's Secretariat. You're going to get a lot of Secretariats, actually. Secretariat, Man of War, War Admiral, getting some respect in there. Another Man of War. And I'm just flipping through quickly here.
We got a lot of old listeners.
Huh? Well, again, I mean, it's not the best horse you've ever seen, which obviously would rule out those types of horses, but the best horse of all time. Here's one person. Top 10. Yes, greater than Man of War. Top 10, yes. Greater than Man of War, no. Secretariat and Pharaoh retired at 3. Could Arrowgate have won Dubai like Reds Belmont if he got out of the gate? You know, interesting. I mean, a lot of interesting takes. Again, you can weigh in right now. Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook, at HRN on Twitter. But right now, the nose dominant in that discussion. How about this? Does Arrowgate win the San Diego today? Yes or no?
Well, you know.
That's like a walkover, isn't it? I mean, you talk about a field on paper that this horse just should dominate, right?
He should, yes. He should.
Right.
He should. Well, you know, like, he's not going to be all out, right? They're not going to, like, burn him up to win this race because they've got the Pacific Classic down the road. This
right.
is a prep race.
Right.
It doesn't mean that he's not going to win, but it's a prep race.
Hoping to be joined by Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez, Saratoga's all-time leading rider. He is working horses this morning. He's going to try and carve out a few minutes for us. Scheduled to work Derby winner Always Dreaming right around 9:30 for trainer Todd Pletcher. So hopefully Johnny will be able to make this happen here in the next few minutes. We'll look forward to hearing from him and talking to him about a little bit about his life, his career, and where he is today. And one of the classiest guys that you're ever going to meet in the sport of thoroughbred racing. Great ambassador.
Oh, absolutely. He's a brilliant guy. He's one of the smartest riders I've ever known in my lifetime, and can't say enough nice things about him.
Well, Johnny V is indeed with us now. They have been running races at Saratoga since the mid-1860s, and no jockey in the history of that racetrack has won more races there than Hall of Famer John Velasquez. Johnny, welcome, my friend. Appreciate a few minutes on a busy morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Look, you're a humble guy. I know that. But what's it like for you to hear those words?
Oh, it's incredible, you know, to hear it. And to tell you the truth, like, I don't really pay attention to it. You know, I don't really look at numbers or anything like that. But when all the people comes out and said, it's incredible, you know, and humbling as well, though, you know.
When you first came to the United States from Puerto Rico and you were trying to learn English by watching The Little Mermaid, could you ever imagine that your career would end up where it has?
Not at all. Not at all. Not. I couldn't even dream of how great and how blessed I've been all these years and had the career that I have so far.
Do you get excited when you're headed up to Saratoga? Does it give you a little extra fire when you get up there?
I do. I really do. You know, I come here and I definitely get that little fire. It's like, all right, this is a place that we need to shine, you know, and hopefully the horses showed up, you know. So I didn't have such a good day yesterday, so I didn't feel that good.
Well, today's another day.
exactly, yeah. So hopefully the horses show up and then that excitement keeps going, though, you know what I mean?
Johnny, things are a little different now than they were back in the day when you were, you know, dominating the rider standings year in and year out at Saratoga. You're in a different position in your career now. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, I'm trying to, you know, I definitely want to win races. That's the number one thing that I like to do. I like to go back a little bit and ride in that many races on the day basis. Looking for the really nice horses, you know, nice races that keeps you going, you know, keeps you coming, wants you to come back again. That's the way I look at it now. It's not so much about being a leading rider and chasing so much every race. So looking for quality.
Yeah, that's kind of the Mike Smith system. He does it probably better than anybody. It seems like he only gets off the couch when he's going to ride a Grade 1 winner.
Exactly. Yeah, it looks really good for him, right? I hope that I can do the same thing.
Yeah, there you go. That's the guy you want to follow.
Yeah.
Johnny, you know, one person that helped you almost more than anybody, I would say, when you came here to the United States was fellow Hall of Famer Angel Cordero Jr. And to this day, you still remain very, very close friends. Talk about that relationship and how that's just continued over the years.
Well, you know that I came into New York, and he was the one who brought me here, and I lived with them when I came here to New York. So ever since day one, they treat me like I was part of the family, and it's still going to this day. But, you know, so now he works for me. Now I'm their boss. but it's like a father and son all the time. You know, we argue and whatever it is, but we keep going with the business. So, you know, but we're still together. We're doing well, and hopefully we continue doing really well here until the day I retire.
Well, you have tons of fans, but I don't think there's a bigger John Velasquez fan than Angel Cordero.
Well, I sure hope so.
Well, forget the money. Forget the money. He just, you know, we were in a restaurant in Saratoga last year, and he was just telling story after story about you. And other people wanted to hear about horses he rode, and he'd always bring it back to a horse that you rode. You know, it was really cool.
Yeah. He's living his riding career through me, basically. That's basically what he's doing right now. He always felt like he wanted to have a son who was riding races and stuff like that. He didn't have the opportunity, so I guess he lived it through me.
Well, Johnny, when you said you don't really keep track of numbers and all those types of things, and I know that you legitimately do not, but I'm going to do that for you. Today, you're going to ride in the Sanford Stakes, which is a historic race, one of the more historic races of the meet. You've won that race more than any other jockey. You've won it 7 times. Your first in 1999 with a horse by the name of More Than Ready, who was pretty darn good. And then your most recent in 2015 with Uncle Vinny. 6 of those 7 wins have come for your good friend Todd Pletcher. And you talk about relationships and longevity. Tell me a little bit about that relationship and why that's been so successful.
The same thing with Todd, though, obviously. Though, you know, we started riding in 1998, I think it was, that we started since Angel took my book. I knew Todd before he went training on his own. So we have a little relationship back then, not until late 1998, that, you know, the relationship kind of grew. And actually, the bigger he got, obviously, the more opportunity I got to ride more horses and do really well with him. So we got very lucky together. We produced. We got a relationship and new understanding and a trust to one another. And I think that's how it works. We can communicate with one another, and anything that happens in the race, we can come back and talk about it. If it was good or was bad, whatever it is, how we can improve it and do better for the next time. And I think that's how it's worked all these years.
You're going to get a chance to hop aboard Always Dreaming in just a little bit. Your Derby winner, you'll get a chance to work him at Saratoga. Boy, it has to be exciting to get him back in action.
Oh man, excited! I'm very excited. I'm tickled to see how he's doing, and hopefully he's doing great, you know, and puts a good work here, and hopefully we get to see him running over here next week or whatever it is they want to run. And I don't know.
Yeah, Jim Dandy, I think, is where he's pointing for. You know, we asked Mike Smith a couple of weeks ago on this program when he was waiting for Arrowgate to come back if it was difficult to wait on a big horse like that. How about for you? Has it been difficult to wait for Always Dreaming to get back to the races?
It always is, because, I mean, you're excited to have him back. You know, you're excited to, you know, what are we doing with this horse? Well, we want to see him, but obviously we want to see him healthy and do well before he runs. But, you know, it's exciting, you know, and especially when you have a good horse like that. You like to see him coming back and run the same way he was running before, you know?
Well, Johnny, the other big race on the card today is the Grade 1 Diana. And how about this? I told you your first win in the Sanford was with More Than Ready. You won the Diana before you even won the Sanford. You won that in 1995 with Perfect Arc. You've done it 4 times, which means that you are now tied with, how about this, Con McCreary, Eddie Belmonte, and Jerry Bailey with 4 wins in the race. If you can pull it off today, you'll stand alone atop that list.
Man, that would be nice. That's a good group. A good group. The guys that I looked up for, a lot of them, basically. You know, were names, actually. Eddie Belmonte, obviously from Puerto Rico, but he was one of my teachers in jockey school, and obviously Jerry Bailey. So it's a nice group of guys there. Proud to be there. And then again, the numbers. I never know the numbers until you guys come up with the numbers. It's exciting to see that and to hear that.
Yeah, maybe you're better off not knowing the numbers. You just go out there and ride like you always do.
I think I do better with that. I do better concentrating what I need to do and not knowing the numbers.
Well, there's nobody better at reading the racing form and the other horses than you. I mean, whenever I bet on a horse that you ride, I know that you're going to have the horse in the right spot. And the only way the horse isn't going to be in the right spot is if some other guy screws it up. Talk about that for a minute and how you approach a race.
It's part of your training. It's part of what you expecting in the race and in that competition and of what you actually trying to do. So for me, I got to make sure that I know that I have a plan A, plan B, plan C. But for obviously, you go for that plan A, who is the most important for that particular race and that particular horse at that particular time. So I definitely I want to be ready for it. You know, I want to be for anything that's going to happen in the race. I want to anticipate everything that's going to happen in the race before I go out there, and hopefully it works out. And I prepare myself well. A lot of homework and making sure that I go out there with more preparation, if you will, than anybody else. That's the way I do it.
Johnny, what still motivates you?
I don't know. I mean, to tell you the truth, I mean, I anything I do, I want to do right. You know, I try to do what is right all the time. You know, I'm going to make mistakes. I just try to make less mistakes than anybody else. And that motivates me more than anything else. I think doing my job good, that's my motivation. You know, I want to do it the right way. I don't want to do it half weight or not do it at all. You know, so I think that's the most important thing, the way I look at it. I'm very proud of what I do, and I want to do it really good.
Talking with Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Johnny, I know you have to get going. Always Dreaming will be on the track here shortly. Before we let you go, though, one thing that you have always poured your heart into is the Permanently Disabled Jockeys Fund, the PDJF, which is our official charity here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Big event coming up July 31st in Saratoga. If people want to hear you sing, they'll want to make sure that they're there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, come out and have fun. I mean, obviously, we're not very good singers, but it's a fun night. Obviously, it's for a great cause that we've been managing to, you know, raise money for these guys and girls who get hurt on the racetrack and can't support themselves. And we're trying to give them a better life. And I think it's a great event, really. You know, it's a good. So I hope that everybody comes out, show up, and have a little good time with us.
You know, I do a lot of promotion for PDJF, but when people ask John Velasquez, why should I support PDJF, what do you tell him?
Well, he's a little bit of what I was saying. First of all, we don't have guaranteed funding for those guys or girls who got hurt on the racetrack, and most of them, they don't even have Social Security because they didn't have enough credits for to get Social Security. So it's really sad that and we only give them $1,000 a month, by the way. So they're really, I mean, living in poverty when they didn't have enough money, and most of them they didn't have any money at all, or no Social Security or anything. So, you know, they've been helped by all the families and whatever they live and whatever they did have, if they had anything. So it's really sad, you know, to see one of your brothers and sisters that you knew or you knew by somebody else and not having enough to, you know, to support themselves or the family. So, you know, some of them do have families and they have children as well. So it's really hard to see that. So I think that's what we do it, and that's why I do it, to try to give a little bit of advice and give it back, obviously, to those guys and girls.
Nobody better. He's Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez. Johnny, safe trip every time you get a leg up, my friend. Go enjoy the rest of your Saratoga meet, and we'll look forward to catching up with you soon. And keep up the great work with the PDJF, and we'll keep beating that drum as well.
Thank you very much. You guys are great, and this is a great cause, and I think they really deserve it.
All right. Johnny V, like all of our guests who appear on the program, going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion and wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. And by the way, that event we were referring to on July 31st at Saratoga is one of the more fun events that you're going to attend all year long. It is the Jockey Karaoke. It's at Vapor Nightclub, which is inside Saratoga Casino and Raceway. You can learn more by going to pdjf.org. And sadly, this is the first one I'm going to miss in several years. We won't be there until the beginning of August, so I'm not going to be attending this one. But if you are going to be in the Saratoga area, mark this one on your calendar. Make sure you are there. Number one, it's for a great cause. The silent auction items are phenomenal. So you get a chance to pick up some really nice racing gifts and paraphernalia. And then you get a chance to watch all these jockeys in a very relaxed atmosphere. The judges, Graham Motion is back as the judge, I believe. Dwayne Lucas, possibly. One of the judges, Todd Pletcher, who is tremendous, extremely funny guy when he starts judging all the karaoke events. Boy, you want to check that out. It's a laugh a minute, and you will love it. You'll see the jockeys in a completely different light, and you'll get a chance to meet all those jockeys, too.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's always a great event, and it's become a tradition. So take the opportunity to go if you have a chance.
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about Always Dreaming here coming up in about 10 minutes. The Derby winner will be on the track for Todd Pletcher. Johnny V will be aboard, and hopefully the Big A, Anthony Stabile, can get a glimpse of Always Dreaming for us, and we'll kind of tell you how he's doing. He said cloud computing, the Preakness winner for Chad Brown, supposed to be on the track this morning as well. So we'll check back in with the Big A when we return. Don't forget, Jay Privman of the Daily Racing Forum is set to join us from California right around 9:35 Eastern. That's all ahead on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Attention horsemen, get ready for great racing and big purses at Kentucky Downs, highlighted by two new greatest stakes events in 2017 and a record $8.4 million in purses and supplemental Kentucky bred monies. Kentucky Downs will offer one of the world's most lucrative racing programs during its five-day all-turf season, September 2nd to the 14th. Two new Grade 3 races, the Kentucky Downs Turf Sprint and Kentucky Downs Ladies Turf, join the $600,000 Grade 3 Calumet Farm Kentucky Turf Cup for an average exceeding $1.68 million in purses a day. Tops in the country. Learn more at KentuckyDowns.com.
Claiborne Farm is proud to offer the regally bred Orb. The son of Malibu Moon compiled a five-race winning streak that included the Fountain of Youth and Florida Derby. In the Kentucky Derby, he defeated rivals Will Take Charge, Oxbow, Golden Sense, and Palace Malice. Now the millionaire racehorse is garnering big checks for breeders. In the auction ring, Orb is the number one sire of his crop, with first yearlings selling up to $450,000. Now is the time to book your mare to Orb at Claiborne Farm.
When it comes to state-bred breeding programs, don't wait for a photo. The New York Thoroughbred Breeding Program is the best in the nation by many lengths. This is Tom Durkin telling you that Twisted Tom is the new standard for quality New York breds. Twisted Tom is one of 19 New York breds entered in the open stakes races that make up the Belmont Stakes Racing Festival. And as I always tell racing fans, that you have the best odds of making money when you race New York breds. Learn more at nybreds.com. Get with the program.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Songberg is digging down. She's got Martini Glass, it appears. Rick Porter, you can go to the winner's circle. Songbird's going to win the Delaware Handicap.
The brilliant champion Songbird recorded her 13th victory from 14 lifetime starts with a game win in Saturday's Grade 1 Delaware Handicap, increasing her career earnings to more than $4.5 million, making the daughter of Medaglia d'Oro your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro sired one of the greats in Rachel Alexandra, who was Horse of the Year at three and the best three-year-old filly since the 1970s. Now his daughter Songbird is carrying on Medaglia d'Oro's legacy, along with other 2017 Grade 1 winners New Money Honey and Dickinson. Medaglia d'Oro has now produced more Grade 1 winners than any other sire this year. To learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This freaky fast performance is brought to you by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns.
The tempo quickens now, coming to the quarter pole, followed by Time and Motion. Lady Eli down to the rail, five lengths off the lead of Catch a Glimpse, who's chased by Illuminate Dickinson. Now Lady Eli to the outside from fourth, Kidura from fifth, Time and Motion sixth. Here's Lady Eli striding forward, final furlong of the Cruel Board, Jenny Wiley. Illuminate, Catch a Glimpse to the inside, Dickinson coming late, Kidura is there, Lady Eli in front, Dickinson trying, Lady Eli... Dickinson gets up on the outside by a nose for Paco Lopez in 1:41.45.
Mike Penna, Jude Feld, back with you on the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Kurt Becker with the call of the Jenny Wiley at Keeneland. Dickinson defeating Lady Eli that afternoon. They'll get a rematch later today in the Grade 1 Diana. Post time 6:18 Eastern. Our coverage begins at 5:30 Eastern, part of our Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series presented by visitbarbados.org. And you'll want to tune in and join the Big A, Anthony Stabile, and Daily Racing Form's Mike Beer as they bring you that coverage live from Saratoga. Again, 5:30 Eastern. If you are just joining us, that coverage this afternoon can be heard on Sirius XM Channel 93. That's Sirius XM 93. And as always, streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. We're going to head back up to Saratoga, check back in with the Big A coming up momentarily. But before we do, it is time for your Blood Horse news update and a look at the top headlines from bloodhorse.com. Well, here's a good one for you. Classic Empire to resume galloping. That's right. John Oxley's reigning juvenile male champion, Classic Empire, is scheduled to resume galloping this morning following an easy week at Saratoga Race Course. That's what Norm Cassie, assistant to his father Mark, said just the other day. If all goes to plan, he added, the son of Pioneer of the Nile will breeze the following weekend. Classic Empire has been on the mend since missing the June 10th Belmont Stakes presented by Naira Betts with a foot abscess. The bay colt was targeting the July 30th Haskell Invitational for his comeback, but his connections called an audible last week and will instead point to the $1.25 million Traverse Stakes at Saratoga on August 26th. And that's your Blood Horse News update for this morning. Remember, don't miss any of the summer racing coverage like only Blood Horse can bring you. Follow the races and news throughout the day on the popular Blood Horse Daily app or have an email sent to you once a day. Both are free. Go to bloodhorse.com/daily to download the app today. That's bloodhorse.com. Good news on Classic Empire. Glad to see him back in the mix, and hopefully all goes well. He'll train up to the Traverse Stakes, and hey, here's a horse that's run well fresh, so why not?
Yeah, I guess that's a theory.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough race to go a mile and a quarter off a layoff.
Yeah, but really tough. How difficult is that for a horse, Jude?
Well, it's very difficult. I mean, it's a...
How about for a trainer to get a horse ready to go a mile and a quarter? How difficult is that feat?
It's very difficult. I mean, there's only a few guys that have really been able to pull it off. Charlie Whittingham had done that. You know, it's
what makes it so hard.
A mile and a quarter is a long way to go, and it's a very testing distance.
So you have to be extremely fit.
You got
to
be really
obviously
fit. It takes a lot of galloping. I think it also takes a really good horse to do it. So, you know, Cassie's got one there in Classic Empire, but you really have to set up the horses, I think, with long workouts and competitive workouts. You got to have a horse to go with. I think that was one of Charlie's secrets to the whole thing, was he had a barn full of the best horses in California, so he could take them and work them in pairs,
almost like mini races.
Mini races, you know, like a mile, a head and head mile in 138 or whatever, 137 and change. When you have that kind of barn, you can do a lot of that, whereas the average person doesn't have that quality that can really put a hard work into a horse. So I think that's part of it. It's a task, but it, you know, it can be done. You just have to have the right setup along the way, and everything has to go well.
Well, the Big A, Anthony Stabile, is trackside at Saratoga. Big A, if you were getting ready to go a mile and a quarter, what would you do?
I'd carb up a lot of pasta, a lot of garlic bread. I mean, I'm always ready.
The worst possible scenario for you to go a mile and a quarter.
Now that we're thinking about it, I am always ready to go a mile and a quarter, essentially.
In other words, you're not going to change a thing. You're just going to continue to do what you usually do.
Little chicken parm.
Exactly
mixed
right. Yeah. I'm dead fit for a mile and a quarter. Yeah, a little chicken parm mixed in, a couple of slices, maybe a chicken roll or two.
Just got to stick with the Big A program, right? Don't change your program.
Yeah, exactly.
What'd you tell me the other night when you said that you would call me after you finished your, 50 wings? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I only went for 20, though. I backed down.
20 wings. Right.
There's a cut back in distance for the big A. From 50 wings to 20.
Well, I did have a chicken quesadilla with it, though.
On the side.
20 wings and a chicken quesadilla. Was that just the appetizer?
And some fries. I'm trying to think if there was anything else.
Just stop. That's it. Just stop right there. I don't want to hear anymore. I'm going to be sick. Awful. Hey, well, look, we're waiting on Always Dreaming. We're waiting on cloud computing to come onto the track. But I just read that piece about Classic Empire. Good news, and great to see him back in action. You said there were a couple of other horses who were on the Oklahoma earlier this morning.
Yeah, Holy Helena went a half mile and 50 and change. And Shaman Ghost, Holy Helena, of course, won the 153rd Queen's Plate up at Woodbine last time out, beat the boys. And Shaman Ghost went a leisurely 3/8 in just around 39 seconds. He, of course, was upset by Keen Ice in the Suburban last time out. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Shaman Ghost in the Woodward, a race he upset last year when he beat Frost and then moved to his. Holy Helena, looks like the Alabama is next for her. And then, of course, you mentioned Classic Empire, Mike DeTravers. We're waiting on Always Dreaming and Cloud Computing, the Derby and the Preakness winner. They're supposed to work momentarily, literally, as it would come up on 9:30 this Saturday morning. So you got those two pointing for the race. We'll see what happens next Sunday in the Haskell, but with horses like Irish War Cry and Timeline pointing to the highlight of the meet down on the shore, you'd have to think they're going to point here. Taprit, Todd Pletcher's already said he's just going to train him right into the Travers. And you know, when you hear he's going to train Taprit into the Travers, and it looks like Norm and Mark Cassie are going to have to train Classic Empire into the Travers, they're coming at it from two different points of view. I think, you know, this horse Taprit has just won the mile and a half Belmont Stakes and has that look of a horse that wants these added distance races in this three-year-old crop. Whereas Classic Empire, I think, to me, has shown maybe there are some distance limitations there. And now you're going to have to get him off 3 more weeks, that 3-week break from the Preakness to the Belmont. You're going to have to get him that mile and a quarter off 3.5 months. I'll tell you what, Classic Empire is able to win that Travers off a 3.5-month break with no prep. He goes right back to the top of that three-year-old division.
Without having won a Triple Crown race.
I think so. I think he has enough support, and I think he has enough people out there to think he is the best horse in this crop that happens. I think he goes right back to the top. I think people are just looking for a reason to crown Classic Empire the best three-year-old and a win in the Travers. I'll tell you what, that's a heck of a good reason. If they're able to pull that one off, that'll just show his mettle and just how good he really is.
Yeah, it's a wide-open three-year-old division. That championship still up for grabs. Hard to say who's the leader in the clubhouse. Maybe Always Dreaming because of his win in the Kentucky Derby. Maybe that puts him ahead of everybody, but the Travers is going to weigh heavily on the horse that will be voted three-year-old champion, no doubt about it. I saw a statistic just yesterday, and I believe it's, I want to say 1982. I could be wrong. It might be 1984. The last time that we had all three individual Triple Crown race winners meet in the Travers Stakes, the Midsummer Derby. Been a while, and that's going to be one heck of a showdown.
Yeah,
I think it was 1982.
Everybody shows up, the Haskell's going to be a hell of a race, too. I mean, that could tell a lot heading into the Travers.
Yep.
Yeah, you're waiting on time, you know, especially Timeline from Chad Brown. I mean, Chad Brown, there's an embarrassment of riches over there. I mean, forget about the turf horses, but when you look at the three-year-olds, he has Timeline. He has Cloud Computing. Practical Joke was push button, if you will, in the Dwyer, and he's going to get another crack at two turns, 4 for 4 around one turn, 0 for 4 around two turns. He's going to get one more shot at the Haskell, and, you know, it's a perfect placement because if Chad decides he can't go the distance, he can cut him back to the Alan Jerkins, formerly the King's Bishop, going 7 furlongs on Travers Day.
Yeah, a lot of things still yet to be determined, a lot of questions yet to be answered. All of those races coming your way this summer on the Horse Racing Radio Network, including the Travers Stakes, which you can hear presented by Sunrise Stallions. That race coming up August 26th. We'll be there live from Saratoga to bring you that coverage. Anthony, stay tuned. We'll check back in with you in about, 15 minutes or so for the return of our Right or Wrong segment, which is presented by Sunrise Stallions. That follows our interview with Jay Pribman, who comes up next right after this break. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the 2017 Breeders' Cup.
Multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti, a seven-time Grade 1 winner and earner of more than $6 million, is now the sire of a Classic winner and a Breeders' Cup Sprint winner with his first crop.
Dreyfong pulls clear of Masochistic. Mind Your Biscuits finishing with a flourish, but Dreyfong's the leader. Dreyfong has won.
That powerful win in the Breeders' Cup Sprint capped a perfect 2016 campaign for Dreyfong that included a dominating win in the Grade 1 King's Bishop at Saratoga and ended with Dreyfong being named Eclipse Champion Sprinter. In addition, Gio Ponti is also represented by the Classic Queen's Plate winner Sir Dudley Diggs. And Castleton Lions is also home to Justin Phillip, who retired sound after competing in 23 graded stakes, winning 11 of those, including this dominating performance in the Grade 1 AG Vanderbilt.
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
Look for Justin Phillip's first crop of two-year-olds in 2017. For more information, visit CastletonLions.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Adena Springs Stallion, Fort Larned.
Fort Larned to catch, and they're not going to catch him.
The fastest two-turn horse of his generation, recording eight fires from 107 to 117 and nine Ragozins from 1 to 3.5.
And he's coming home, turning handsprings, Fort Larned. Brilliant in the Stephen Foster.
A winner of 10 career starts and nearly $4.5 million in purses.
It's nose and nose to the wire. Fort Larned has won it.
Fort Larned won the Grade 1 Whitney Handicap in a hand ride late with a final time of 147 and 3/5 before wiring the field in the Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Classic in 2 minutes flat, earning a 117 buyer, and then taking the Grade 1 Stephen Foster by 6 1/4 lengths in 147 and 2/5. First crop two-year-olds by Fort Larned have sold for up to $170,000. Classic Mr. Prospector Speed and Free of Northern Dancer. A superior racehorse. Fort Larned, standing at Adena Springs. Visit AdenaStallions.com.
Since 1940, the National HBPA has provided thoroughbred horsemen with a unified voice, representing their interest and needs before state and federal governments and improving business conditions for thoroughbred horsemen and their employees. With a seat on the board of major industry organizations, the National HBPA continues to support more than 30,000 individual owners, trainers, breeders, and backstretch personnel throughout the United States and Canada. Contact CEO Eric Hamelback to let your voice be heard and support the National HBPA by visiting hbpa.org.
Hello, this is Bill Mott. You're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum, presented by Kentucky Downs on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, you're just excited that you know, getting those kind of races, but I mean, it's just so fun to watch him. He's just galloping. You know, so even though you have to wait, it's just fun out, you know, it's fun being out there watching. But it'll be about time for him to get back and get back to work. And, I certainly can't wait. And I know his fans can. I mean, he's starting to really get a big fan base. And you know, Bob's just talking about how good he's doing. So I'm really excited about him coming back.
That's Hall of Fame jockey Mike Smith talking about Arrowgate and waiting on his return. He doesn't have to wait much longer. Arrowgate will be back in action this afternoon in the San Diego Handicap at Del Mar, post time 6:03 Pacific, which is 9:03 for those of you waiting on his return here on the East Coast. Should be a very special day where the turf meets the surf, and to help fill us in on everything happening at Del Mar, we welcome in Daily Racing Form's Jay Privman here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jay, appreciate you being up early, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
No, my pleasure, Mike. How are you?
Everything is well. What's the word on Arrowgate? Is there a different buzz surrounding the racetrack this morning?
I think it's I don't know about this morning because it's, like you just pointed out, it's still early, but I think there's been quite a bit of anticipation in the last few days leading up to this race to see him get back in action. He's looked very well in his gallops. You could just see him kind of coming forward as the weeks have gone on, and he looks like the kind of horse who's sitting on a race and eager to return. And I'm certainly looking forward to seeing him run. It's the first of two times he's supposed to run here this summer, with obviously the Pacific Classic being his main goal, and that's 4 weeks away.
They got five horses entered to run against him. I guess only four are going to run at this point. We heard yesterday Delmore was coming out of the race, but
right. Well, he entered back a mistake on Sunday, so yeah, he's coming out.
Yeah. So was that a surprise to have four horses? I mean, I didn't know if they'd get any.
Well, I knew they'd get at least one because Baffert said he was going to run Catbird for Jude.
Greedy guy that he is.
to avoid the Baffert match race, though, a few others went in. I mean, you know, obviously they're up against it. I guess the hope would be that for some reason he just doesn't fire, and if he doesn't fire, it could be anybody's race. And you know, second money is $60,000, which is like winning a $100,000 stake race. So even if you concede the race to him, it's still worthwhile if you can finish second in the race. So. Other than that, you got to ship. And if you ship, what do? Go to Saratoga and run against Shame and Ghost and that group back there. So there's no easy spots in that division right now.
Jay, we threw out a poll question this morning. There's been some talk throughout the past several months. Is Arrowgate the best racehorse of all time? And whenever you get into those discussions, it can be dicey. How about for you? Are you voting yes or no? Is he the best racehorse of all time?
No. My secretariat said, hold my beer. So did Man of War. And I'd even put, you know, horses like Spectacular Bid and above him at this point. I mean, he's only run eight times, and he's obviously a brilliantly talented horse, but I think to call him the greatest of all time is quite honestly ludicrous.
Yeah.
Let him run eight more times or something, or more, and he's not going to. I don't know. That to me is a little much.
Yeah. All right. So the plan for Arrowgate moving forward, you said Pacific Classic will be his next start after today, assuming all goes well and he stays on track. After Pacific Classic, is there another goal in mind before the Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, that remains to be seen. Obviously, as we saw last year, Mike, the horse is perfectly capable of training up to the Breeders' Cup Classic off works and firing, because last year he went into that race without a prep in between the Travers and the Breeders' Cup Classic. So there's certainly the likelihood that that's the timetable they would use for him this year. But I think Baffert reserves the right to change his mind, and if he wants to run in the Goodwood at Santa, or actually that's called the Awesome again. Old habits die hard. The Awesome again. Santa Anita. At the fall meet there, he could certainly use that as a bridge in between the two races. But I would think at this point, having had the two races, if he gets the two races in here at Del Mar, my money would be on him training up to the Classic.
Would the chances of him running in the Pegasus still be in the cards?
You know, I asked Bob about that the other day, and he said nothing like that's been discussed yet with Judmon. Their main goal at the beginning of the year and right now and has been and remains a title defense in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Whether they try and run him the one more time in that race it has not been broached yet. It looks like he's going to go to stud next year. Obviously, California Chrome was able to get the Pegasus in before he went off to stud, and certainly the timing works for it to be done if you want it to be done, but that's not anything that's been discussed among the parties yet, as far as I know, and according to Baffert.
Talking with Jay Pribman of the Daily Racing Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jay, Arrowgate, obviously the story of the day and the story of the weekend, maybe in thoroughbred racing, certainly at Del Mar. What are some of the other highlights and some of the other major players we can look forward to seeing throughout the meet?
Well, there's a couple of champions that are going to be running here next weekend. Dre Fong who hasn't run since he won the Breeders' Cup Sprint, and with it the male sprint title, is going to return a week from today in the Bing Crosby. And I'm looking forward to seeing him get back into action. And then a week from tomorrow, Stellar Wind will be running in the Clement Hurst Stakes. And she certainly looks like she's taken her game to another level this year. I mean, she had a couple of big wins last year against Beholder, and then unfortunately in that star-studded Breeders' Cup Distaff, she stumbled badly at the start and just lost her best chance that day. But she's come back with good performances so far this year, and I think you could make the case right now that she might be the best older filly or mare in the country. So those are two that are coming in the next couple of in the next week or so. And then, as you know, like at Saratoga out here, one of the big highlights is always the emergence of the two-year-olds, especially the ones that haven't raced yet, and the ones with the big pedigrees from the good barns, and seeing those horses get started. And we saw a real good one on Wednesday when Justice Midge won for Baffert, and we'll certainly see, I'm sure, more and more from various and assorted folks as the meet progresses, and that's always a good thing, a fun thing to watch.
Yeah, the two-year-old racing at Del Mar is always really good, and culminates with the Del Mar Futurity on closing day. Are there any other buzz horses around? Do people, talk on the backside about this horse or that horse?
Well, I did a big story in the racing form on Wednesday for the opening of Del Mar, where I went through some of the ones who looked like they were going to be emerging stars at this meet. One of them runs tomorrow. It's a filly that Dick Mandela trained named Ladybug, who I've seen train and I think has quite a bit of promise. So she's on deck tomorrow. Later on this meet, of horses who haven't run yet, Baffert's got a couple of colts that look like they have quite a bit of ability. One is named Nero. He's by Pioneer of the Nile. He was a $950,000 yearling that Stone Street and the Coolmore people teamed up to buy. And then it looks like St. Patrick's Day, who's the full brother to American Pharoah, has some ability. He's been training forwardly. He's probably still a few weeks away from a race, but he might be all right. And that, those two are certainly ones that I'd keep an eye on coming up. So Jeff Mullins has a Union Rags colt that cost $1 million as a two-year-old and training in Tatters to Riches, who is supposed to run next weekend as a two-year-old colt race at 6 furlongs that he's supposed to make his debut in. So those are the few that I'd keep an eye on in the next couple of weeks.
Well, if you can't tell, Jay Pribman is as good as it gets when it comes to following and covering California racing and racing in general, for that matter. You can follow him on Twitter at @DRFPrivman, and you can also follow him drf.com and read all the pieces. Jay, let me shift gears for just a minute. There was an article that came out yesterday about the California Horse Racing Board discussing a potential cutback on some of the racing dates. That's met with some opposition. This has been brought up before. It's no secret that California has struggled with field sizes and filling races. Your take on that whole situation out there?
Well, I think California is part of what's – I don't think any place in the country has been immune to some of the struggles of trying to fill races and fill quality races. I mean, you can run 12 or 13 at a lot of places, but sometimes the quality drops off to do that. And it's, one of the problems has been that the foal crops, as you guys know, has trended downward for a decade now, but the relative number of race dates and race days has stayed the same. Well, if you have fewer horses for the same number of races, but that doesn't really add up. I mean, it seems like fairly basic math. So I think everybody's struggling with it. It's far more acute out here because, as Jude knows as well as anybody from having trained on this circuit, we're kind of an island out here. It's not like you got at Saratoga where people are shipping in from so many different places. And they're just trying to find out a solution to how to do this. Is it just stay with the same framework of a schedule, Northern and Southern California, but maybe cut back on some dates? How about having a week off between meets? Wouldn't that be novel and fun for everybody? I think so. Or one of the things that's been discussed is just turning the state into a full circuit where you've got no overlap between Northern and Southern California racing. I don't know that the Stronach group would go for that, since they've got Santa Anita and Golden Gate, and I think it's their, in their interest to try and maintain a pretty much of a strong presence in both Northern and Southern California. But those are some of the things that are being discussed and to try and come up with a solution going forward.
Yeah, it used to be so much fun when we had that break between the end of Oak Tree and the beginning of Santa Anita. I mean, people could actually go on a family vacation for a couple weeks, and the horses got a rest, and you could have your help go on vacation. The grooms could get a week or two off, and it was just lovely. That's, you know, gone the way of the dodo bird, unfortunately, but... you know, I would be all in favor of it. I think cutting back on racing days is a brilliant idea.
Not just in California. I'd
Everywhere.
Be in favor of it across the board. I think, it, as Jay pointed out, with the foal crop declining and still the same number of races in many jurisdictions, it's very difficult to fill those fields. Jay, I'm always curious, what's the main argument against cutting back on some of the racing days?
I mean, you'd have to ask the tracks. I mean, their interest is in staying open as much as possible and yep. getting whatever revenue there is on a daily basis from parking and concessions and things like that. And there's also the paramutual union and people like that have an interest in the track racing more often, because it's become harder and harder to keep their employees employed on a regular basis, with the on-track crowds have, you know, trended downward everywhere. More people are bet from off-track now, and so those are some of the economic struggles that people are looking at. But the main stakeholder in this are the tracks. They want to be open as much as possible, and I think just for the good of everybody on this, let's just say we're going to stick with a year-round Southern California circuit and keep the Northern California situation out of the equation at the moment. My thought is that just the best solution would be to mandate a week off between major meets. It's just, there's going to be a week off between when Los Alamitos ends or Santa Anita ends or Del Mar ends, just give everybody a week off. So let's say that there's maybe 4 weeks built into a 52-week year that you're just off. And I just think it would be refreshing for all the people that you just mentioned, as well as the people who keep the game going, the horse players. They could probably use a break too.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That discussion will continue. There's no doubt about it. Today we focus on Arrowgate, the world's number one ranked racehorse. He returns in the San Diego, 6:03 Pacific, 9:03 Eastern. Jay, enjoy the afternoon, and thanks so much for getting up early and being with us. Always appreciate it, my friend.
No, my pleasure, and I'll look forward to seeing you guys down the line, Mike. You take care.
You got it. Jay Pribman with the Daily Racing Form, like all of our guests who appear on the program, receives a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. All right, time now to rejoin the Big A, Anthony Stabile, at Saratoga. It is the return of our Right or Wrong segment, which you'll hear at this time every single Saturday throughout the Saratoga meet, and it's all presented by Sunrise Stallions.
Yeah, right or wrong. Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, Anthony, here we go. Just a couple of questions to debate here this morning. And the first one is, well, it's pretty simple. It goes back to our poll question, which people are voting on our Twitter feed right now. Is Arrowgate right now considered to be the best horse or the greatest horse of all time? Is that right or wrong?
That is right. I believe he is the greatest horse to ever look through a bridle. You can't win races like the Travers on the front end, the Dubai World Cup from dead last after breaking poorly, the Classic Breeders' Cup Classic from mid-pack, and the Pegasus World Cup from a stalking position, and not be considered the greatest of all time. He has no bad races on his card. He's the greatest to ever do it.
All right, I'm going to disagree. I'm not ready to say that this statement is right just yet. I mean, the horse has only had 8 starts. Granted, he's won 7 of those 8. He's won 4 stakes races, and maybe the 4 most prestigious stakes races that we have in the game today outside of the Kentucky Derby. But you look at horses like Secretariat and Man of War, who are also very much in this discussion. Secretariat raced 21 times. He won 16 of those. He's a grade 1 winner on both dirt and turf, and one of just 12 horses ever to win the Triple Crown. Man of War, well, all he did was win 20 of 21 career starts, and heck, he was even made an honorary colonel by the U.S. Army's 1st Cavalry Division. How about that? Arrowgate may be the greatest, just not yet.
Am I right? What do you think? Right or wrong?
All right, number two, Ben's Cat, the great Maryland bred, who sadly was euthanized this past Tuesday after complications from colic surgery, retired earlier this year at the ripe old age of 11, having won 32 of 63 lifetime starts and earnings of more than $2.6 million. Big A, with a resume like that, Ben's Cat has a plaque waiting for him in the Racing Hall of Fame. Is that right or wrong?
I believe that is wrong, Baron. I love horses like Ben's Cat and think they are absolutely great for the game. But when you're talking about the Hall of Fame, you're talking about a level of talent, not accomplishment or compiling, if you will. And a level of talent and accomplishment as opposed to compiling. He did that against inferior competition in his life. And look, he was as consistent as Hickory as the day is long. But I think there should be a separate wing for horses like Ben's Cat, for the rapid reduxes of the world. But in the Hall of Fame, no.
See, I'm going to say it's right. Anyone involved with this game knows how difficult it is to win one race. Ben's Cat won 32 races. He won a stakes race at the age of 10. Now, he may have lost a couple of steps, Big A, late in his career, but when he was in his prime, he was as consistent as it gets. The knock is going to be he was a turf sprinter, but hey, times have changed. We have a Breeders' Cup race dedicated to this division. Horses in the Hall of Fame who were strictly sprinters, a la Safely Kept, they're in there. So yeah, I think you give the old man a break. Ben's Cat deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Rest in peace, champ.
Yeah, right or wrong. Okay.
All right, that's your Right or Wrong segment for this morning, brought to you by Sunrise Stallions. We'll get to a quick break, and we'll come back and wrap up this edition of the program, tell you what's ahead this afternoon on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by Kentucky Downs.
Think smart. Ask yourself, what can Sunrise Stallions do for you? Big Brown was the third leading sire in New York in 2016 and currently sits in the same spot in 2017. Last year, Frost Giant had four juveniles sell for $100,000 or more and was recently represented by his first two-year-old winner of 2017. Together, Big Brown and Frost Giant's runners have earned over $2 million in the first half of this year. The answer is simple. Sunrise Stallions puts you in the winner's circle.
Power.
Here's the wire, and it's a photo finish that goes to Tonalist.
Passion.
It was Creator and Destin right on the wire, and Irad Ortiz raised his whip in victory.
Performance.
It is Tepret and Jose Ortiz in the Belmont Stakes.
Gainsway Stallion Tepret, an incomparable champion who has emerged as one of the most influential and breed-shaping stallions of the past half century. North America's leading sire in 2014, 2015, and 2016, Tappet has sired 22 Grade 1 winners, 20 yearlings to bring $1 million or more at auction, and earners of more than $112 million on the racetrack. Among Tappet's recent Grade 1 standouts are multiple Grade 1 winner Frosted, Phillies Sweet Loretta, Pretty City Dancer, and Time and Motion, Ring Weekend, and three Belmont Stakes winners, Tonalist, Creator, and Tappet. Look for Tappet yearlings at the upcoming Basic Tipton Saratoga sale. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
Yeah.
Barron and Pontiff, that's Penna and Fell, back with you here on the Equine Forum on HRN. Just a couple minutes left to wrap up this edition of the show. Been a very busy morning. Don't forget that you can join us this afternoon. Join the Big A, Anthony Sabile, and Mike Beer of the Daily Racing Forum as they bring you coverage of the Sanford Stakes and the Diana live from Saratoga. That coverage kicking off 5:30 Eastern time, and you can tune in Sirius XM 93 and worldwide at horseracingradio.net. So make sure you join us. All that coverage presented by our friends at visitbarbados.org. Should be a great day of racing, JT, not just at Saratoga on the West Coast. We talked about Arrowgate returning. He's the big story there. Boy, great afternoon. Great time to be a racing fan.
Yeah, absolutely. It's summertime racing, the best there is.
We need to thank all of our special guests for being with us this morning, including the Big A, Anthony Stabile, who was positioned at the Spa. Saul Kooman, great interview with him in the first half of the show. If you miss it, head to our website, horseracingradio.net. Check out the podcast. Also, fun interview with Hall of Fame jockey John Velasquez, who joined us in the second half of the program, and Jay Pribman from the Daily Racing Forum just a short time ago. Our thanks to all of them for being with us here this morning.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We had some good conversations.
All right. Enjoy this afternoon of racing coast to coast. And again, horseracingradio.net is your home for podcasts of all of our programming, not just the Equine Forum, but all of our shows. They're all there for you and at HRRN on Twitter. For our producer, Lee Delapina, for Sean C., with all of our social media, for Jude Feld, I'm Mike Penn, and we'll talk to you next time on HRN. Go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.